See, that's what, look, John Wayne said, being a courage is being afraid and saddling up anyway. Not only that, but usually when you know that we're getting into the devil's territory, he loves to play games with us. Amen? So you say, well, I don't know if I even wanted to come to church there because the devil's been playing with my head. You need to be in church if you've been playing with your head. Amen? I've seen some of y'all's heads. Glory! I'm playing about your head. Look. Well, kind of. All right, ready? But it's been a rough week. I'm telling you, it's been a very, very rough week. You know, usually I'm on the go all the time, running all the time, and I got a watch that tells me when my heart stops beating. I know that. And it tells me I need to get up and move and all this, and I've been running really hard last week, run all over the place last week. It had to have something wrong with it. Been a rough week. My app that counts my steps asked me if I had died. So I decided I'd start a new routine this week. I started doing crunches twice a day. That's cool, isn't it? I do Captain Crunch in the morning and Nestle's Crunch in the afternoon. That's a good routine, I'm telling you. That works good. Get your Bible out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. This here literally is the beginning of the end in Revelation. Okay? Matter of fact, you'll be able to look through here and you'll be able to find yourself. If you look really hard, you can see where we're living today when you start looking at this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, I did something a little different anyway. You don't have to even have your Bible. If you don't want, you can just look at this. I'll just put it right here. Ready? Let's read it together. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Y'all say it with me. Say it out loud. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold white horse. That's a Freudian slip, okay? I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this is going to be a two-parter because you got to get deep in this. This is going to really, really be deep. And when I said White House, I'm not just talking about Biden. I'm talking about the whole system. The whole system is really trying to push God out. It's being pushed God. Everything that God stands for and everything His Word stands for is being pushed farther and farther away. We better wake up. We better learn what we stand for and stand on it. Whether everybody's to stand on it or not, you stand on it because God's going to hold you responsible for what you stood on. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you've got everything in your hands and under your control. Lord, you told us these days are coming, and this week, you can just turn the news on for 5 minutes, and you can see all this is happening around us. You see it, the foundations being laid for the Antichrist. The Antichrist system's already here, meaning it's against Christ, it's against His Word. We see this place now all over the world is pushing God's Word out of the way, moving it aside, rewriting it, changing it, cutting it out. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint us all and help us be ready for what's coming our way. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Look at somebody and tell them, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. Okay, you can be seated. We look at what's going on in the world today, and there's some crazy stuff, and there's some good stuff in the crazy stuff. And so that's what's got people so confounded, is there's good stuff in the crazy. And so while they're busy trying to take care of the good stuff, the crazy's being piled on. But not only is the crazy being piled on, now the virus is picking back up again. There's another a variant of the virus. And now they said before, if we all were vaccinated, we wouldn't get it. Now they're saying we'll get this one. Okay? And I found out on the way over here today that some people in my family got it. And I didn't even know it. They've been sick for a week. I had no idea that they had it until I found out this morning. And so I'm telling you, this stuff is real. I know if they hadn't politicized it, people would handle it differently, but they politicized it. When you start politicizing anything, everything goes haywire. Okay? So this isn't political. I'm getting ready to tell you, this is biblical. Not political, biblical, but politics plays in this. Okay? But I'm not bringing in who's what, who's the Antichrist and all that. God knows I don't. I have no idea. You know, if I listen to everybody and all their calculations, you know, the Antichrist was the Antichrist that's talking about in Revelation was here thousands of years ago. The spirit of Antichrist has been here since Christ. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. And so we do know this, that whoever the Antichrist is going to be is going to recover from a head wound, which is probably an assassination attempt. We do know that. So if we see a leader that's had an assassination attempt and looks like he's dead, but he recovers. I hope I'm not going to be here when that happens, but that's going to be a sure sign. Okay, that's a sure sign you can ever want. Okay, so now, again, if it's an assassination attempt, I'm not sure, a plane crash, whatever, but there's going to be a death and a resurrection, and then they're going to think, wow, this is the man right here, okay? So, let's look at here. Wow, can you imagine looking over the hill and seeing that coming? It's coming. Matter of fact, if you listen real carefully, you can hear the hoof prints. I mean, the hoof beat in the distance. I can hear them. I hear them. You remember Jaws? Whenever Jaws would come up, you hear brruh, 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 brruh. As soon as you heard that, somebody would get ready to lose a limb. Brruh, 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 brruh. I can hear that. I can hear it. Every time I turn on the television and watch the news, I hear the hoof prints. Hear the hoof beat. Every time I hear people start talking about, look, I'm not kidding, you watch, it's not going to be long. You're going to be outlawed. Christianity will be outlawed. You said it can't happen. It's happening. It's happening. I'm not making this up. You see it. It's happening. And watch the hoof beat. So watch this now. Tribulation. The tribulation period is one of the most significant periods of God dealing with man. It's one of the most significant periods in history because it's the accumulation of 6,000 years of man taking God for granted and pushing God to the side and taking their own control. And we see it now. We see politicians who did not believe in something because it was against the Bible, and here's their word now, but we've evolved. Well, God's word don't evolve. God's word is God's word. Amen? You better know what you stand on and stand on it strong, because if you're not careful, you'll be sucked right in to all this mess, and then the rapture's going to take place. You're going to wonder why you're still sitting here wondering, when's he coming for me? Okay? Well, if you missed the rapture, I'm pretty sure you got at least a 7-year wait. Okay? So now, so I see this. It occupies a prominent place in his prophetic plan. Matter of fact, you say, well, what about the tribulation? Is it even mentioned? Yes, it's mentioned. It's mentioned over 50 times in the Old Testament. Did you know that? The tribulation period is mentioned over 50 times in the Old Testament, and it's mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. This is not something that popped up, Revelation popped up, and they go, oh, John's got something new. No, John's got something old that's being brought up, and he's going to bring the revelation, because God told Daniel, when Daniel was seeing this stuff, he said, there's some stuff I want you to close up in the book, because it's not time for the world to understand it yet. Now, this is what was closed up in the book. All right? So now it's time for you to understand it. It's time for you to see what's going on. And I'm telling you, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better be good. I tell you why. Jesus is getting ready to split the sky. I mean, you told us to say Santa Claus is coming to town, didn't you? Jesus is getting ready to come and get his bride. So now, watch this. Let's just get going. I'm going to try to be kind of long. We got plenty of time. 11:19, we got till 2, so we got plenty of time. All right. See, there's the lion, the lamb, and there's Jesus. That's all that's going on. We've already seen all this. We talked about this last week. We've seen it all the way up. We've been talking about Revelation since December, just before December. So we've talked about all the good stuff in Revelation. We talked about Jesus being handed the seals, or the scroll with the seals on it. So that's what all that is, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But let me tell you something now, what's going on. Revelation chapter 5 shows us that all is ready. Now watch this. Ready? Here. The church is in position. The rapture, after Revelation chapter 5, the rapture had already there and has already taken place. Not for us yet, but it's coming. All right? The church is forever safe in His presence. Every day, I tell you all the time, every day when we're praying, and we thank God that Bethany is safe with God. She didn't have to put up with any of this. And every day, I thank God that she didn't have to put up with this. And I think about others that went on before us. They don't have to put up with this. Okay? So safe in His presence. Get ready, because we're getting ready to be safe in His presence, because the rapture's coming quicker than you think. Number 2, in Revelation chapter 5, we see that Jesus is in position. He's in a place of victory, a place of majesty, and a place of power. And then we look, and then also in Revelation chapter 5, we'll see that the world is in position. The Holy Spirit is out of the way. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7, it says, the spirit of iniquity is here, but he can't do the stuff that he wants to. Satan can't do all that he wants to do, because he that letteth is in the way, meaning the Holy Spirit embodied in the church. And so when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit embodied in the church will be taken out. The Holy Spirit will still be here in Revelation, but it'll be in spurts like the Old Testament. The way it is in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's all over the place. That's going to be gone, because we're taking, when He goes up, He's taking us with Him. Okay? So the tribulation after chapter 5 is about to start. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you, some of this stuff you think might be happening, some of it's already happening. And you say, how can it get any worse? Oh, it's going to get worse. I mean worse. And when it happens, you're going to know, because can you imagine the Antichrist with his vehicles riding down? I can see it like the UN vehicles riding down the street and going into houses. And if you don't take the mark, they just take your head off right then. Can you imagine? The biggest trouble is we've had with COVID and people not wanting to take the COVID shot. You know what? You don't want to take that mark, you will die. It's not a joke. You will die. You say, well, I'll gladly give up my life for the Lord. Let me tell you something. What if you had a child born in the tribulation period? Because children are still being born. What if you had a child born, he's 2 or 3 years old, and the army comes and takes your child and says, okay, you take the mark, or I kill your child. What are you going to do? I had a dream. I told you about this dream a few months ago. And in that dream, I was walking down the street, and I had our grandbabies. I was holding the grandbabies by the hand. And they were coming down, going to take us out. The Antichrist was just a dream. Antichrist come up, and his people come up. And I remember them talking about, are you willing to die? And I just held on to the grandbabies and said, hold on to Paw. It's only going to hurt for a second. And then we're going to see something very powerful. And I woke up. Wow. Can you even imagine that? It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming quicker than you could ever imagine. So now, like I told you about Daniel. So let's just go to Daniel. Let's see here. There they come. There's those four horsemen. Revelation chapter 6 actually is a shock to the senses. When you start seeing this, you're going, how could this even happen? When I was a little boy, I couldn't see how this could happen. But now with all the technology we've got and all the things we got going on, this is very easy. This could happen so fast, and the world is getting conditioned. You know, if the Antichrist was to come back, let's just say before pre-COVID, if it had come pre-COVID, he wouldn't have had the foothold that he'd have now because we've been conditioned for him. And the conditioning keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going. And as it keeps on going, a lot of people have stopped believing what the Word said and started believing what they've told that the Word said. And people are evolving, and now all of a sudden what was wrong is good and what was good is bad and blah, 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 blah. And you can say everything you want to unless you call out the name of Jesus, and then you'd be arrested. Really? Really. If you go into Iran, you can see down the streets lined with people crucified, Christians nowadays, down the street crucified for their belief in Jesus Christ and refusing to denounce him. If it's down there, don't you know it's going to be here real soon? Not making it up. You can look it up. You can find this stuff. So Revelation chapter 6 is a shock to the system, to your system, your senses, to everything you know, because this stuff is crazy. You say, who has let the nuts are running the nut house? That's how it already is. The nuts are running the nut house. In the past two chapters, we've been allowed to witness some very powerful stuff. Matter of fact, in the first few chapters of Revelation, what we've got a chance to see is God in all his glory. We got a chance to see them worshiping the Lamb. Matter of fact, they were there. They saw Jesus as the Lamb. John saw the Lamb being worshiped, okay? But now, watch, starting with verse 6. Now we're going to see images of divine wrath. Up until this point, there was worship and worship and worship. And there's still going to be worship in heaven, but the problem is now, God said, okay, John, enough for looking around here. I want you to look down at earth and see what's getting ready to happen. You don't see what's here. Now I want you to turn your attention to earth. And I want you to see what's going on while we worship the Lamb. You see, in heaven he's the Lamb. But on earth, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's getting ready to show some powerful wrath. Now let me read this to you. I put it up here so everybody can see it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to thee, or to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined, that's the 70 weeks in Daniel is actually the tribulation period in the New Testament. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, again, at 1 week, seven years of tribulation. When Noah got in the flood, when Noah got in the ark, he got in the ark and God shut the door. But God left the door open for how long? 7 days. Symbolic of the tribulation period. The church is taken away. The church is safe. And here at the tribulation period is the opportunity for salvation. But nobody took it in the ark. I don't know how many is going to take it during tribulation, but it does say there's some coming up through tribulation. And these are those martyrs, those that died for me down there. They're the ones that come up through tribulation. So you see all this going on here. Let me finish this right here. For 1 week, and in the midst of the week, shall he cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. It's the abomination of desolation. Actually, Satan's going to set up. He's already showing just how big and bad he is the first 3.5 years. But in the middle of the 3.5 years, he's going to set himself up now. Now the devil's fully on earth. He's fully in control. And now he wants to be worshipped, and so he sacrifices a pig on the altar. God would never sacrifice a pig on the altar. And up until this point, the Jews are thinking, wow, we've got Jesus. And up this, now they realize, we blew it. This is not him. And now they become hunted the rest of the tribulation. Even to the consumption of that, determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So now, let me just, this is the tribulation period from the Old Testament. Let me just show you this now. The reason for the tribulation period, it just says it right here. This is exactly what the Word says. I'm not adding to or taking away. The reason for the tribulation period is to finish transgression. In other words, after this, look, after this, it's going to be awesome. Okay? If you're taking up in the rapture, it's already over for you. You got it. Okay? But if you're still here during the tribulation period, that's when man finishes and Satan finishes his work. It's to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up visions and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, what happens is in the tribulation period, Jesus Christ, remember we talked about it, He will, at the end of the tribulation period, show the devil just who is boss. You see, Satan, you would think, already knows that he can't win, but he won't. See, here you go. Satan will not accept his defeat. He knows he's lost, but he will not accept his defeat. And because he will not accept his defeat, he keeps on pushing. Now, let me just turn the tables a little bit. Some of us could find a better life for ourselves if we could learn to accept our victory. Satan won't accept his defeat, and see what he does? Some of us won't accept our victory and see how our life is. If we could learn to accept the victory that Jesus has already bought for us, we would find life would be a whole lot different than it is now. And if Satan... He's not going to accept his defeat, so he's going to find it, though, when Jesus takes him and puts him in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So here we go. Ready? I'm taking my time. I don't want to get. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. All right. Here it goes. Jesus breaks the 7 seals on the book one by one. Matter of fact, the book, I had one time, and I don't know what I did with it. I think it's in the drama room. But the sealed book... it was like 13 foot long, but this book, it was sealed up, and each one of the seals was something that happened. They were all in sevens, and it was a period in Revelation. And so when you peel back the first seal, then all that stuff that happened in the first seal, the first thing, then when that was three, peel back the second seal and unrolled the scroll a little bit further, and this stuff was revealed. Then when it's finished, then he pulls back another, and he rolls out the scroll a little bit further. So this is all that's going on. Now, I'm telling you, now this is happening. But I'm telling you what we've got going on this earth, if you can see what's happening around us, anybody that's spiritual, the non-spiritual don't see it. All they know is something's happening, and somebody needs to get busy. And they're asking the church and other people what's going on. But spiritual people, spiritual-minded people, it's time for us to wake up and understand that the spirit of Antichrist is exploding on us right now. Anything that's taking the Word of God and shutting it down is the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that does not want us to even talk about Jesus and talk about His goodness and His mercy is the spirit of Antichrist. And so we have to understand that. We need to get busy telling people about Jesus. Don't beat them down. They're already beat down. Lift them up. Pick them up. Talk to them. Let them know that Jesus is the way. Okay. As the seals are opened, a series of divine judgments are poured out upon the earth and those who dwell on the earth. The four seals describe the events that will take place during the first 21 months of tribulation. So this is going to be our starting stopping point for today. I'm getting ready to close her down. I said getting ready to. So don't anybody go, okay, y'all go ahead and start getting your purse up. No, leave your Bible open. When the Lamb opens the first seal, we read it. There's a noise of thunder in heaven. That noise of thunder signals the approach of a storm. A storm like we've never seen before. We've heard about the perfect storm. We've seen some perfect storms with the weather. And we've seen some perfect storms in our own life. This morning was a perfect storm. DC came in and he pulled out his guitar. And look, I don't know what had happened. Like that guitar is from 1965. That guitar is older than me. Okay, that guitar is as old as me. Okay, that guitar was made sometime when I was in school. Okay. And you can see where he got water on the neck, and he takes care of his stuff, and it was in a good case, a very good case, and it was wet, and the strings were broke off where that water was at, and it was warped. And so he says, "Dad, you got a guitar?" I said, "Sure, I got a guitar. I go get mine." And he comes in here and starts, the first thing happened is the strings break. I said, then I started saying, "You know what? We got to have to be on our A game today because Satan knows I'm getting ready to tell on him at service. And he wants us to have a bad attitude from the very beginning." And so then we couldn't find a screwdriver. We couldn't, blah, 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 blah. I have all these screwdrivers. Couldn't find one small enough. I have glasses screwdrivers. I have no idea where they're at. Probably somebody was using them, took their glasses off and lost them because they couldn't see them. It's like I had a camouflage hat one time. I can't find it. Okay. So look, we have burned the book. So then we get going, and then we have to keep tuning the guitar and changing the guitar and tuning the guitar and getting it right. And all I could think, and I started thanking God, I said, "God, Satan is really upset about today. Let's go ahead and give him a black eye." So we gave him a black eye of praise and worship, and we're giving him a black eye now. He can't stand it. So look, this signifies the perfect storm. This is more than that movie by George Clooney. The approach of this storm is the perfect storm because something's getting ready to take place where the world is going to finally realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the world is going to realize that Satan is in control. And the Jews are going to realize that Jesus Christ was the one that they crucified. And Jesus is going to take back his lease from the God of this world. So let's watch this. What is about to be unleashed on this world is beyond description. When John started describing it, John just described it in terms that he understood. The Old Testament prophets, when they talk about chariots jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop, they had never seen a jet. Chariots jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop. Man couldn't even fly at that time. They're describing jets. And then when they're talking about scorpions stinging with their tail, guess what? Now, again, they're talking about tanks and they're talking about helicopters. They had no idea what was going on. When they talk about the sky rolling up like a roll, that's nuclear blasts. They never seen this stuff. And so they're trying to describe it, but to them it was beyond description, so they used stuff that they knew to describe this, but now we know. Though it's tough now with COVID, with the economy, and with all these youngins up in Washington, D.C. claiming to be politicians. A bunch of youngins, all of them. You take them. Have you noticed there's an extreme push now to push God farther and farther and farther away? Just keep watching. We used to be called the breadbasket of the world. And just a few years ago, guess what we're called now? We are called a missionary country. A place that needs to be evangelized again. Wow. Used to evangelize the whole world. And now we need it all over again. So watch. Here we go. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 starts talking about the white horse of deception. I'm going to read that. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. He had a bow, but no arrow. How do you conquer with a bow, but no arrow? If you read further, you see it's got no arrow. How do you do that? It's through diplomacy. I'm going to talk our way out of this. I got the power, but I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to show it. I'm not even going to threaten. I'm just going to show it. And I'm going to talk our way through everything. Just let that sink in. So, watch this. The white horse is the white horse of deception. I want you to notice something about this white horse. There's two places in Revelation that there's a white horse mentioned. The first is in here, Revelation chapter 2. The second one is Revelation chapter 19. I'll read this one. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, which is us, followed him upon white horses. I can't wait to have my white horse. That's going to be awesome. Paul Cartwright's got nothing on me. The Lone Ranger's got nothing on me. Roy Rogers got nothing on me. That's right. The armies that were in heaven falling upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that should smite the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I just stop it right there, because we're going to get in that later on. Let me just do this now. I'm going to talk about this. The white horse is carrying a very important message. In chapter 6, it carries one message. In chapter 19, it carries another. So I'm going to compare them, okay? And then we're getting ready to go home. In Revelation chapter 6, that rider wears a crown. Jesus, in chapter 19, wears many crowns. Listen very carefully to this one. The rider wears a Stephanus, a victor's crown. A Stephanus, like I've told you many times, when the Greeks would go into Olympic contest, the winners didn't have gold and silver medals. They got a Stephanus, which was like with olive branches. But a Stephanus would come around the head like this. And that would be their victory crown, the Stephanus. But the Stephanus wouldn't last very long. It would fade away. The Antichrist wears a diadem. It's presented to him as a conqueror. But it's only going to last a little while. But Jesus wears a diadem. A diadem is more like what you saw these guys, Henry VIII, and all these guys wearing these big old crowns with all these jewels and all this gold and all this silver. That's what Jesus is wearing when he comes down. The Antichrist crown only lasts for a little while. Jesus' crown lasts forever. Wow. This rider, his crown will be given unto him. Jesus wears his crown because of who he is. Wow. Ain't nobody giving him his crown. Ain't nobody down here giving him a crown. We can crown him in our own life. You know, Marina was really smart while I got out. She's already making it. Look, she's smiling. I think she's smiling. She's wearing a mask. Let's see. She's smiling. Shake your head. She's smiling. She said, come to the altar. She was talking about the song. I said, what song are we doing? I'm back here. I said, what song are we doing next? And she said, come to the altar. I said, I can't. I'm up here. And she looked at me and she said, then go to the altar in your heart. That was awesome. That was powerful. She preached the whole sermon right at the end. Go to the altar in your heart. Wow. Guess what? Antichrist, he's looking good, but it fades away. But we're, listen, because he wears a crown because of who he is. He's my Lord and my Savior. This rider carries a bow. Jesus carries a sword. The Antichrist is all talk. Did you know that? You got a bow, but no arrow, you're all talk. And we're living in a day of all talk. I'm telling you, we're on the verge. Jesus carries a sword to execute judgment on all the nations. Finally, the Antichrist, when he comes, his appearing signals the beginning of tribulation. When Jesus comes on his white horse, it signals the end of tribulation. DC, come here and play something. Let me tell you what's going on. Hell, when you get to chapter 6. Hell is on the horizon, but it hasn't broken. All hell ain't broke loose yet. And looking around at what's going on in the world today, I can tell you, again, I hear the hoofbeat of those four horsemen. Hell is on our horizon, but it hadn't got bad yet. But I thank God, he's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. How is this going to happen? But the horse is beaten down, coming at us. Second Thessalonians 2:6-7 says, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. What's keeping the Antichrist from being revealed? I know people argue about the rapture and there's post-trib, me-trib, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, A-trib, post-trib, and that, I mean, we keep on, you know, I was looking at a prophecy class one day in college, and the professor went and he said, he was talking about pre-trib is they believe that Jesus come back and rapture us away before tribulation. Mid-trib is in the middle way when they're doing the abomination of desolation. That's when Jesus is coming back. Then the post-trib believe that when he comes back on the white horse, that's going to be the rapture. Well, who's he bringing with him? Who's the ones on the white horses? And then some say atria, which means a meaning nothing, meaning we're always just going to go through all every bit of it, and then it's just going to just transform into the kingdom. And then the professor said, you know, I can see Jesus now saying, when do I go, Father? Tell me when to go. And the Lord's looking at all of our maps and going, I can't figure it out. Post-trib, mid-trib, patron. No, he's not doing that. He's got a time. He's already got it planned. It's already taken care of. It's not set by our clock. You know, I bought a clock one time. I got tired of my clock, you know, between electricity getting cut off and time change and all this stuff. I got aggravated with trying to keep up with my clock and keep it going good. And so I bought one of those clocks that I don't ever have to set. It's satellite control. You can turn the power off and turn it back on, and within 5 seconds, it's got the correct time. Daylight saving time can go, and it automatically changes. Have a storm. It's cut off for 5 hours. It's cut off for 2 days. You plug it back in because it's hooked up with something I can't see, a higher power. It's always right on time. Guess what? The church is hooked up with a higher power. And no matter what you're going through, no matter how good or how bad, He's got this. And He's got His time. He's got your time now for your deliverance from what you're going through. At the same time, He's got a time for when the church is going to be taken out. But according to this, and now you know what withholdeth that He might be revealed in His time, for the mystery of iniquity hath already worked, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, we are the restraining force. Listen very carefully. The Antichrist wants to reign so bad that he's trying to rush it. Please listen. The Antichrist wants to reign so bad that he's trying to rush his appearing. That's why the Word of God is pushed out. That's why we can't even mention Jesus. There's a whole bunch of other stuff we can mention, but we can't mention Jesus. We can't talk about the Word. Ten Commandments coming off walls. Statues of Jesus being removed. Statues of Jesus being removed. Crosses being desecrated. The Antichrist wants to come so bad that he's pushing it. Because he knows we're the one holding him back. And if he can get us to let our standards down and give in, it makes his entry a whole lot better and quicker. But I'm here to tell him right now, he's got an appointed time. But he ain't going to get it until God says it's time. And that's when we're taken out of the way. He can't rush us. He's not going to rush God because God's got this. I want everybody to stand. And next week we're going to finish up on the white horse. And then we're going to go to all the horses. We're going to hit the horses. I want to take our time. I want us to understand this. If you will, take notes. It's just important. And whatever you do, don't let that Antichrist spirit try to rush you. He would try to rush you right now so you can't hear what I'm saying. What a glorious day is coming. When all this is taking place, we're not even going to be here. People can speculate who the Antichrist is. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. Although I'm interested, it's not a deal breaker for me because according to this, I'm not going to be here when he takes over anyway. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With nobody looking around, let me just ask this first question. Just as simple and plain as direct as I can be. Are you ready? Simple. I don't have to beg you. Nobody has to beat you over the head. Nobody's got to take a Bible and pound it on you. Just a really question. Are you ready? What I described is wrath. But until that day comes, remember, when Noah got in the ark, the door was left open. There was grace. There's grace today. God has not appointed us to wrath. If you're being beat up right now by anybody, Christian or non-Christian, you're being beat up physically, mentally, emotionally, especially spiritually, that's not God. Our God deals in grace. Jesus took the beating for you. You know, I don't have to ask again. I'm going to ask it one more time. Are you ready? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not ready, well, nobody's looking, and I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. I'm not even going to let you pray by yourself. We're all going to pray together. But your beginning of getting out of all this is having the boldness to put that hand up. If you're not ready and you want to be, or you're not sure, there's a difference. I know I'm not ready, or I'm not sure if I'm ready. That one of them, I know I don't have the relationship I need with God. The other one is I'm not sure what kind of relationship I've got. So either you know you're not ready or you're not sure. When nobody's looking around, we just slip that hand up. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. Lord, bless them right now. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here right now and you just need God to work a work in your life because the Antichrist has been trying to rush you. The Antichrist has been trying to take you down. The spirit of Antichrist has flooded around you and you're needing God to do something special. Would you put up that hand and say, I need God to help me because the Antichrist spirit is pushing me hard. I got to have some help. Together, we're going to pray together. When everybody repeat after me, everybody repeat after me. Father, we see the cloud coming. We see the perfect storm is on the way. Father, we can even hear the hoofbeats. Help us to be ready for what's coming. Help us to be ready to go with you. You said you did not appoint us to wrath, but to salvation. We're believing that, and we're standing on that right now. Father, we rededicate our life to you right now. We give everything we are, every hope and every dream to you right now. God, use us in these last hours to bring glory to your Son. We thank you, God, that you don't beat us into the kingdom. You search for us and you go after us and you love us back in. We thank you for that. For the Antichrist wants to tear, to destroy. Thank you, God, that we don't have to worry about that. And Lord, we give this day to you in your precious and holy name of your Son. The one that's riding the white horse with the crown and the sword. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tuesday night, we're talking about triggers. And again, I'm not talking about the horse trigger. We're talking about triggers. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I want y'all to feel free to talk about triggers. I'm going to tell you what a trigger is. A trigger is a type of event, whether it be through your senses. It's usually brought in through your senses, but not only through your senses, also through your mind, that triggers a past pain.